Radio.
PopSecRadio.blogspot.com.
Subversive music for dangerous times.
What the fuck?
Free Radio, Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. We're doing coverage here of what's going on in the Middle East right now. I have Tracy on the phone. You there?
I am. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going? You got news?
I've got some news, and it's only about Paul, who was on the Spendoni, one of the Greek ships.
Paul Larruti.
Paul Larruti is one of the original co-founders of Free Gaza Movement and one of the co-founders of the Free Palestine Movement. He's a linguist, and he is from El Cerrito, so he's somebody who lives in the Bay Area. He was on the original August 2008 boat that broke the siege of Gaza. So Paul's been one of the spearheads of this whole idea of breaking the siege through waters, through the sea. So I got an email from somebody named Lindsay, who is living with Paul's wife, and I'm just going to read it. It came at 2:41 today, so about less than 10 minutes ago. She says, "Hello, my name is Lindsay. I'm living with Betty Larruti while her husband Paul is overseas with the Gaza Flotilla. We just got an email from the Israeli Consulate General, Andrew Parker, in Jerusalem. He said that Paul is alive and seriously beaten. Paul told him to call us, so this is the closest contact we've had so far. He asked us to spread the word as much as possible. Betty, which is Paul's wife, was the one that talked to Mr. Parker, but now she is upset and doesn't want to talk to anyone until she gets an email from the consulate tomorrow. He, Paul, silently refused to follow Israeli orders, so they beat him. Now he's being held in prison. Betty can't remember the name of the email, but we should be getting a detailed email tomorrow. He, Paul, is in the same room with the captain of the boat. They have no windows, no telephone, nothing. He refused treatment by Israeli doctors and only let the ship doctor give him aspirin." So that's the first update we've had from any of the Bay Area activists, other than having seen Kathy Sheets, who's the nurse from the Bay Area, at the Ashdod port, because she was on another ship called the Challenger. So we still have a couple, Janet Coburn and Jean St. Ange and Ayara Lee, who we have had no news on yet. So this is the first that we've actually heard about the folks from the Bay Area.
The one thing I haven't figured out, they took all six ships is what they did and docked
them? You know, Bob, that's still, I mean, they've really held a lot of information, but from what it seems like is, yes, that they ultimately brought all of the ships either to the Ashdod port, which is in southern Israel, or the Haifa port, which I believe is in northern Israel. And whether or not they've been deported or detained, they're still not releasing any of that information. So this is all we know. I mean, we now know that Paul is being held in a prison, but not sure which prison he's in.
They have let go of some of the people that are on the boat, at least the people that, I don't know, they're not charging, I suppose, but there are some people they have let go. I just saw on Al Jazeera. I'm going to actually play that coming up at the 3 o'clock Al Jazeera news feed.
Okay, well, I don't know if folks in Santa Cruz know about the demonstration today at the Israeli consulate. It might be too soon to get to, but there is a demonstration today at the Israeli consulate from 4:30 to 6:30, and then there's another demonstration on Saturday, the 5th, also in San Francisco, that starts at 11 a.m.
Right.
The one today, you probably know about all this. Yeah.
The one today is at 456 Montgomery Street.
Exactly. Yep. That's
Israeli consulate, 4:30 p.m. People are meeting there today.
That's right.
Well, thank you for calling and updating us. I appreciate that.
And thank you for covering this and always being right there when stuff in the Middle East goes down. I really appreciate it.
Sure. No problem, Tracy. Take care.
All right, Bob. You take care.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. We're going to be playing Al Jazeera live for the first time on Free Radio. That was all recorded stuff I got. I'm going to play the newscast coming up at the very top of the hour here as soon as it comes. But first, we're going to hear this from WSQT out of Washington, D.C., a pirate radio station there. This is his promo, and we're going to hear about the protests that happened there in D.C.
Tune in for reports from WSQT Direct Action Radio on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM, freakradio.org. on what we know as Memorial Day in the U.S., the Navy of Israel ordered a convoy of relief ships for the besieged Gaza Strip by armed force. 19 people are confirmed dead at the hands of Israel's seagoing pirates. Since the attack occurred in international waters, 20 miles outside the waters claimed by Israel, it is in fact an act of piracy, meaning the Gaza relief convoy would have been entitled to resist the attack with armed force if they had had weapons, but they did not. Outraged at this deadly attack and the detention of everyone aboard ships which were towed to Israel, an estimated 200 people protested at the Israeli embassy and later at the White House, demanding that the United States cease and desist sending aid to Israel. Some demanded a complete severance of diplomatic relations with its terrorist pirates' den. Others simply remembered 19 heroes killed by Israeli murderers.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That was a report from WSQT in D.C., Washington, D.C. Sounds like a pretty crazy protest. Again, there's one today, June 1st, 2010, 4:30 p.m. at the Israeli consulate, 456 Montgomery Street. Big protest happening in response to Israel attacking the flotilla aid ships. And in just a second, we're going to hear Al Jazeera live. We'll just do a live update, see what's going on. So stay tuned for that. We got new music coming up too in a little bit, probably after Al Jazeera here. Take a little music break and stay tuned for Al Jazeera here on Free Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org.
Marmara. Israel's attack on the high seas. Activists on board the Gaza flotilla accuse their forces of heavy-handedness. The US is urging Israel to let more aid into Gaza, but Egypt has already eased the blockade, opening the Rafah crossing into the Strip. Hello, I'm Stephen Cole. This is Al Jazeera live from London. Also coming up.
And I'm Nisreen Shamaila live at the King Hussein Bridge in Jordan, waiting for over 100 activists to be freed from Israel.
And voicing their anger, protests in Turkey as returning activists tell tales of Israeli violence. Plus, underwater engineering, new efforts to try and stop the flow of oil from the Gulf of Mexico. And U.S. forces bid farewell to Haiti as the hurricane season closes on homeless residents. Israel says it's releasing and deporting almost all the activists taken off the flotilla that was trying to break its blockade of Gaza. Only 50 of the almost 700 taken in Monday's deadly raid will stay in detention. Some of the flotilla activists have already arrived back in their home countries, with reports that Israeli commandos used stun guns and beat them. Despite anger around the world, Israel's blockade of Gaza remains firmly in place, but Egypt has opened the Rafah crossing into the Strip. Jackie Rowland reports from Jerusalem.
Taking the lead in the international outcry against Israel, the Turkish Prime Minister addresses his country's parliament. Turkey paid the largest cost in human life during the attack on the convoy, and his anger is tangible.
Israel should understand the seriousness of such mistakes and not repeat them. Yesterday's event was a black point in history. This was an inhuman attack. Even pirates have rules that they follow. Israel violated international law. This is a position that should be punished.
But Israel claims that this was a defensive operation, and it said it acted within its rights boarding the ships, regardless of the fact that they were not in Israeli territorial waters.
It's a very commonplace action in armed conflict to impose a blockade. The enforcement of the blockade can actually take place also in international waters if there is a clear intention on the part of a vessel that it aims to breach the blockade.
The task for Israel now, crisis management. The activists on board the ships have been detained or deported. Any video testimonies have been confiscated. And the Israeli public relations machine has gone into overdrive. Israeli television aired an interview with two of the commandos, now apparently injured, who took part in the raid. This man said the commandos came to talk to the activists, but they were attacked by a mob as soon as they landed on deck. He said using weapons was a last resort, only when the commandos felt their lives were threatened. Passengers who were on the ship give a different version of events. They say the fighting that took place was an act of self-defense in the face of a military attack by Israel.
The message of this intensive forces was not to stop, but to deter any further initiatives, any coming initiatives. It is clear for the Israeli that this was a successful flotilla, and the siege upon Gaza is a strategic policy. It is not the flotilla issue. It's, again, the siege upon Gaza.
The UN Security Council has called for a thorough, impartial investigation. But it seems that the international community will not be involved. The United States has given Israel the green light to investigate itself, which must call into question the eventual conclusions. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, Jerusalem.
On board the Mavi Marmara were seven Al Jazeera members of staff, including a producer, Jamal El-Eshal, seen here as the Israeli raid was underway. Jamal told a lawyer, given access to some prisoners, that he'd been assaulted by Israelis. That lawyer also told us that between 80 and 100 of the activists on board were being investigated for their part in the fighting, which broke out as the commandos boarded the vessel. Well, many of the activists detained after the raid have now been freed and are on their way to the King Hussein Bridge, the major crossing point between Israel and Jordan. Our correspondent, Nisreen Al-Shamalia, is there and joins us now. What's the latest, Nisreen?
Well, nothing has changed, really, Steve. We've been waiting. The initial time of arrival was 4 hours ago, so we're still waiting. There are a lot of conflicting news about when exactly these 126 activists would arrive from. There, 30 of them are Jordanian citizens. All the Jordanians who participated are returning via the bridge, in addition to other nationalities, people who come from countries that don't have diplomatic ties with Israel, and they include Pakistanis, Kuwaitis, Omanis, Bahrainis, Mauritanians, Algerians, Indonesians, those from Azerbaijan, Morocco, Yemen, and Malaysia. They should be arriving any minute, as I said. The initial time of arrival was around 4 hours ago. Regarding our staff members for Al Jazeera, we have three confirmed staff members who will be returning. Uthman al-Battiri is Jordanian, Ali Sabri is Jordanian, and Mohammed Val is Mauritanian. The other three we have yet to hear any information about, Stephen.
Nisreen, why is Jordan doing so much to help the released activists?
Well, Jordan is trying to do its best. Jordan has a peace treaty with Israel that basically forces it to honor its obligations. According to Jordanians, Jordan isn't doing enough. It has usually people here expect more from Jordan. It's a country where half of the population is of Palestinian origin, and condemning these attacks is simply not enough for Jordanians. However, it is trying to go out of its way and trying to accommodate patients who need treatment and those who need to return to their countries because their countries have no direct flights to and from Israel. So they're trying to offer some help and to accommodate and facilitate the safe return of these passengers and these activists. It's trying to do its best. But to many people here, I can tell you, it is not enough. Most people here want the Wadi Araba peace treaty signed between Jordan and Israel dropped. They want it cancelled. They want more of something that we could call a resistance project so that people could take matters into their own hands. And I can tell you that relations between Israel and Jordan have become really sour in the last few years. Bilateral ties are very minimal, and people here are generally angry. So no matter what the government does, even though it is trying to portray itself and present itself as a role model, trying to be more similar to the Turks, it is not enough for many of the people here in Jordan, Stephen.
All right, Nisreen, we have to leave it there, sadly, but many thanks for joining us from the King Hussein Bridge. Peace activists, members of national parliaments, retired diplomats and journalists, some are still in custody. Many have returned home to their countries of origin. But all tell a story similar to this man. They were members of a peaceful convoy attacked without provocation. Hassan Nawara says he sustained his injuries in a beating by Israelis after he was detained.
Out of the blue, all I can hear is screaming and bullets all over the place on top of Marmara. And there's the Turkish ship and the helicopters on top, and they are drumming soldiers. And as you can see, is screaming and fires and bullets, really time bullets. And out of the blue, we just looked around our ship. All what I can see is hundreds of Zodiacs.
They tried to take my camera, and I refused, and they stuck me, touched me with the stake, electric, I think, and I already shocked, but I didn't follow my camera. Then his friend, they pushed me a big shot, they gave me a big shot in my arm, then it broke, and the camera is falling down, and he broke my camera with his big foot.
We felt like we're in a war. We felt kidnapped. We returned with what I'm wearing here. I only have my passport with me. This violates every international law, just like the blockade of Gaza and Palestine is against international law.
Another aid ship is now sailing towards Gaza, vowing it too will test the Israeli blockade. Shuli Ghosh is in Jerusalem, where the Israeli government says the blockade will continue.
Here in Israel, the government has been involved in a massive damage limitation exercise. There's been a lot of criticism, not just internationally, but domestically, internally, in some sections of the media about the way the operation was carried out. Not by and large the fact that it was carried out in the first place, because much of the Israeli population backed the government's position on the blockade of Gaza, but the fact that it was carried out in a way which has caused such damage to Israel's reputation, so much so that there have been calls in some parts of the media for the resignation of the defense minister, Ehud Barak. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu has cut short his visit to Canada. He came back to Israel. He stepped off the plane. He went straight into a high-level security emergency meeting with his top ministers. And he has come out and said that despite the international condemnation, the blockade on Gaza will continue. As far as the Israeli government is concerned, Hamas is a terrorist organization, and that blockade is in place for its security. But it remains to be seen whether his resolve will continue when another Gaza aid ship arrives in the region as early as tomorrow. The merchant vessel Rachel Corrie is due in these waters. The Israeli government has said that they will not allow it to head towards Gaza. But of course, it will be well aware of the international condemnation that followed its raid on the flotilla. Shuli Ghosh for Al Jazeera in Jerusalem.
Turkey is one of the countries leading the call for Israel to be punished for its actions. And in the last few moments, it's been revealed that President Obama has called Turkey's Prime Minister Erdogan to express his condolences. The president also said he wanted to see a transparent and impartial investigation. 380 of the people on board the flotilla were Turkish. They've started going home with eyewitness accounts of Israel's military operation, and their stories have further fueled the anger in Turkey.
Young boys take time off from school to have their say. Gathered outside the headquarters of the body that organized the Gaza flotilla, they chant anti-Israeli slogans and messages of support for the Turkish Humanitarian Foundation, or IHH. This is also the debriefing center for those activists arrested on the vessels and subsequently deported from Israel. This group had touched down in Turkey just over an hour before, and this man had a clear view of events on the Mavi Marmara from the ship that was following. The experience still fresh.
I was watching things unfold from the bow of our ship. Helicopters and inflatable attack boats approached the Mavi Marmara, and we started hearing explosions.
And contempt for what he said was a ridiculously large number of Israelis that conducted the interrogation process before deportation.
Israel is a state of fear. God has given them fear. There were 20 of us and 250 of them. They're scared of humanity, and they are really scared of Muslims.
Demonstrations continued outside the Israeli consulate in the business district. The police on standby to prevent a reoccurrence of an overnight attack. The broken windows evidence of the crowd's anger. Anger manifest also among those who are merely passing by.
This isn't an attack on Islam or Turkey. This is an attack on humanity. And it's these people's right to protest against such a crime. And I totally support what is taking place here today.
And Turkey continues to weigh its response to the Israeli action. The country's National Security Council called an emergency session.
The demonstrations outside the Israeli consulate continue into the night and becoming increasingly clear that this anger has national roots. The public perception that Israel has insulted the very concept of Turkish sovereignty itself. Mike Hanna, Al Jazeera, Istanbul.
As the calls for Israel to lift its blockade of Gaza become louder, Egypt has opened its border crossing with the Strip. Officials say the gates will be open for 3 days from Wednesday, but earlier hundreds of Palestinians arrived at the crossing. The move is being seen as an attempt by Egypt to deflect criticism for its role in imposing the blockade. Nicole Johnson sent this report from the crossing.
There are hundreds of Palestinians gathered here at the Rafah crossing, the main crossing to get into Egypt. And the reason they're here is because Egypt has announced that the Rafah crossing will be open for 3 days. So the people here hope to go into Egypt on Wednesday. The reason they haven't been able to cross on Tuesday is because there's been a general strike in Gaza, a strike in solidarity for the activists who've been detained from the flotilla. Also in the borders very close to here, 5 truckloads of aid from the flotilla are waiting on the Israeli side. Now, these truckloads should go into Gaza at some point, but Hamas, the deposed government that controls the strip here, is waiting to hear from the donors, the people who donated the aid, about whether they agree to allow the aid into Gaza. Hamas doesn't want to take responsibility for the aid because they believe that this aid has been tainted with blood. Nicole Johnston in Gaza.
Still to come on Al Jazeera. Trying to create a pathway to peace, Afghanistan's leaders plot peace talks with the Taliban. In the aftermath of Tropical Storm Agatha, the storm which unleashed its might on Guatemala.
Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, doing coverage of the flotilla attack headed for Gaza. There's another one, the Rachel Corrie, that's headed out that way right now. We'll see what happens. But doing the best coverage we can here. I got some more stuff I recorded earlier today. Hang on, we're going to get to that in just a moment. And then we'll be getting into some brand new music got coming up. Stuff released actually today for free online. And some new Arcade Fire coming up in just a moment. I'm going to play this debate that happened on Al Jazeera earlier. So stay tuned for that coming right up. Free Radio 101 FM. FreakRadio.org.
So, how much damage has the raid done to Israel and to the Middle East peace efforts? Joining me now to discuss all this is Jonathan Sacerdoti from the Zionist Federation and Garda Fahmy from the Institute of Arab and Islamic Studies at the University of Exeter. Welcome, both of you. Dr. Karmi, Israel had asked the flotilla to dock at Ashdod. All but one of the flotilla, the Mavi Marmara, had refused to do so. To what extent do you believe that those on board this ship were being deliberately provocative in terms of their actions against the Israeli?
Well, I've been hearing this Israeli spin all day. And frankly, I find it incredibly depressing that any platform has been given to Israeli spokesmen to talk in this way. And it is shameful that after having killed 10 innocent people, the Israelis are still going around spinning the story about provocations and being attacked and so on and so forth.
Well, they have the right of explanation.
But we, the international community, all the rest of us, have the right to know what really happened. Now, all we've had is the Israeli account, and of course it's been very interesting that they have prevented the people that they have apprehended and taken away and put in jail. They've prevented them from talking. So we don't actually know what really happened. And the Israeli version has been given an awful lot of an airing, which it didn't merit at all. Now, what we have to look at here is not what the Israeli spin is. Of course they're going to spin a story. They always do. What we have to look at is the fundamentals in this situation. The fundamentals were that a humanitarian mission was on its way.
We know the fundamentals.
Indeed. Allow me just to finish. A humanitarian mission was then interrupted by a military attack.
Okay, let's go straight to Jonathan Sacerdoti. Why such a strong and an aggressive military attack?
There wasn't a strong and aggressive military attack until the troops that had previously requested for the flotilla ships to divert to Ashdod, so that if their main aim really had been humanitarian aid and providing humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza, they would have followed those instructions, as five of the six flotilla ships did, you quite rightly just pointed out. The sixth absolutely declined to do so and declined repeated warnings that it was about to enter a blockaded area where there is a known naval blockade. What happens in those circumstances is that the Navy gets involved. That would happen almost anywhere in the world. If you're about to enter an area with a known naval blockade, that's what will happen. The troops that then did get involved were instructed to use only the paintball guns that they were provided with as they were lowered onto the ship, and as what they were expecting were anarchists, not terrorists. What they received when they got to the bottom of the rope, moving down onto that ship with a briefing to try to speak to the people on the ship and convince them to move to Ashdod like all their other comrades had done, was a beating, the likes of which is quite extraordinary to see. And you've been showing it yourselves,
Jonathan,
here on Al Jazeera.
Once again, Israel is accused of using disproportionate force. This isn't the first time Israel has been accused of this. And it seems the whole world is looking at pictures and looking at the convoy and saying, Israel, once again, you've overreacted. And why, for example, didn't the troops have this non-lethal means for confronting protesters?
Well, Stephen, they did have non-lethal means. They had paintball guns. The only live
people died.
Yes, because what happened when they attempted to use the paintball guns, which are a regular form of munition, which is not live fire, to be used for protesters and people who aren't posing a life-threatening threat towards you, they conducted themselves initially only using these non-lethal weapons. It was when they had stun grenades, as could be seen from the footage you've shown yourself from the IDF here on Al Jazeera and on all the other news channels, I've seen it, when stun grenades, even a live grenade, and there has been some mention of live fire aimed at them, when
all
that
right.
was used against them,
Jonathan,
they were then given permission to use
live
fire.
Dr. Karmi, the Israelis were only reacting to the force used against them.
Well, if you believe that, Jonathan, you'll believe anything.
Well, I've seen it on the footage. We've all seen it on the footage that's
right,
going out even
right,
Al Jazeera
right.
5 minutes ago, Dr. Khan.
Israel is extremely successful at diverting the issue. It's now thrown dust in everybody. Everybody's saying, did they do this? Did they brandish a weapon? Did they?
But that's much better than jumping to conclusions, which is what results in an unfair treatment of the situation.
Good, good. I understand where you're coming from, and I know you must defend Israel. But let me just point out...
No, I must defend the truth. That's what I'm
well,
here to do.
No, no, but listen to the truth then. The truth is that Israel has no right to intercept these vessels because Israel's blockade of Gaza is illegal. Repeat, illegal.
No, what is illegal is launching of weaponry from Gaza into civilian
areas. There's all kinds of questions being asked about the Gaza, especially of intercepting a ship in international waters.
All right,
Dr. Karmi, make your point.
That's not dubious.
My point is that the blockade is illegal, that Israeli actions are not only illegal, but they are criminal, and they really have to be taken into account.
No, because
okay,
Israel
Jonathan,
provides,
answer that. Answer
Israel
that, because what we're talking about here is, as I said to you just a few seconds ago in my question before about disproportionate, and once again, Israel's reputation is under fire, under attack from all over the world, not least the United Nations.
And of course, people who speak out for Israel hear that. It's unfortunate that can be the case. But what Israel's primary concern is the safety of its citizens. Now, from Gaza, routinely, rockets are launched into Israeli civilian areas. I mean, just in the last month, something like 10 rockets in May have been launched. And the point of the military blockade, of the naval blockade, is that previously ships have sailed to Gaza carrying weapons, and these very rockets that are fired to Israel from Syria, from Iran, and that is why there is a military blockade in place. That's why there's a naval blockade. Israel, however, was very happy to allow these ships in the flotilla to unload their goods under their supervision and then transfer it through the accepted land crossings, where every week 15,000 tons of goods enter into Gaza, and that kind of humanitarian aid is what Israel is happy to let in. Now, of course, there'll be discussion over exactly what that should include and what that shouldn't include, and Israel is very happy, as it has done, to engage with the international community to ensure that the Gazan people shouldn't be the ones suffering. Israel is not at war with the Gazan people. It's at war with the Hamas regime.
All right.
The Hamas regime is the one that is making life for the Gazans.
Jonathan's point, Dr. Karmi, is they're guarding Israel against attacks from Gaza, and this ship could have provided weapons for Hamas and used to attack Israel. That's the Israeli point.
Yes, no, I understand that, and I know the Israelis will say this kind of thing, but of course we know what the situation of Gaza is. We know that this territory has been subjected to a siege which has led to severe malnutrition, to semi-starvation of adults, to dirty water, to you name it. That's the situation in Gaza. And any responsible agency should now look at this and say, look, Israel is clearly out of control. We have to do something in order to enable not only the people of Gaza to live, but for there to be a rule of law in this region. Now, it's obvious that... It's obvious that world bodies, we've been seeing, hearing all day, the United Nations, the European Union, the British government, everybody is concerned about this issue, is not in favor of what Israel has done. They have condemned Israel, as you know very well. And they're doing that because they see that Israel is out of control.
Israel out of control, Jonathan.
No, Israel is also concerned about the welfare of the Palestinians, but primarily its concern has to be the safety of its own people. Mm-hmm. And the point of the blockade in the military area
is so... For the Palestinians?
By allowing 15,000 tons of aid to cross across
really?
The border...
By allowing
by
people
offering,
to starve?
By offering... That's not allowing people
to
starve.
Come back to
by offering to the flotilla of ships who claimed that their aim was to bring humanitarian aid to the area, to transfer all of that aid, as long as it had been examined so that there was nothing which could be used for munitions, to transfer it. And Egypt offered the same, so did the Israelis if it was diverted to Ashdod. And five of those ships peacefully accepted to do that, and that is what's happening with their cargo. This sixth ship was manned with people whose aim was not to bring aid to the Gazan people. Their aim was to support the Hamas regime, which has a declared genocidal war on the state of Israel and the Jewish people, and their aim was to fight the soldiers who would inevitably have to land on the ship if they did not divert their course. And that is what they did.
That's a very big generalization, saying everybody on board that ship.
I'm not saying everybody on board that ship was. I am saying that the nature of the people on that ship was such that they did not listen, whether it's those in charge or all of the people, I can't say. And none of us can yet, but there was certainly a strain on that ship who stopped it. That ship did not follow suit, as the other five did, and do what was the reasonable thing to provide aid for the people of
All
Gaza.
Right. Dr. Karmi?
Well, you know, I'm honestly, please allow me just to say, I find it very difficult to engage in this kind of conversation, because my colleague here, who I'm sure is perfectly sensible, is deliberately re-spinning for us this story that Israel has put up. We don't
anything.
Want
These are the
to
facts
discuss
as they are on the ground.
We do not want to discuss the spin that Israel has put up.
It's not spin.
We
just because you disagree with it, it's not spin. Because it doesn't suit your narrative, doesn't make it spin.
This is a serious situation. Please,
very much so.
Please show some respect.
All right.
Ten people have been killed.
Doctor,
this is a tragedy.
Jonathan Sacha Dotti, this could last a lot longer. Indeed, there will be still being questions tonight and tomorrow being asked, I'm sure. For the moment, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Tune in every weekday to the International Middle East Media Center audio news program. Broadcast every morning before 8 a.m. and every evening before 5 p.m. only on Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM, freakradio.org. Check out imemc.org.